Many of you, I think, know that I serve on the school board in Waterville, and I am up for re-election in this season. And the other day, the Morning Sentinel provided an article about all of those who were running for school board, those are of us running for re-election and those who are competing against us. And so I was looking at this article online, and, you know, sort of reading it through, seeing, you know, if the reporter got my quotes, you know, the right way, that sort of thing. And part of the article, you know, is who I am and my age and where I live and my occupation. And so I was reading through this, and then because I was kind of goofing off, procrastinating, I got to the end of the article, and I clicked on what one should never click on, and that is the comments bar. Don't ever do that. So anyway, so I clicked on the comments bar, and I was actually, you know, this was about several candidates. I was surprised that there were several comments that had to do with me, and the very first one basically went along the lines of, like, ha, ha, ha. The funniest part of that article is that Reiser is listed as a pastor. I've spoken to her at city council meetings, and she doesn't seem very pastoral to me. So I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about this actually quite a lot in the last few days. Not that I really, you know, this is probably not a very pastoral thing to say. Not that I care that much about what, you know, the anonymous person had to say in that regard, but it did get me thinking. And especially as I was actually thinking about 1 Thessalonians. You might wonder, why? What could the possible connection be between the two? When it comes to Paul, we often think of Paul as a theologian and as an evangelist, the one who went around on missionary trip after missionary trip, who gathered up churches and tried to keep them going. We see him as someone to whom we turn for guidance about how to think about God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. We sometimes forget, though, that Paul was a pastor. Paul was a pastor to the early churches. And there are ways in which we read and should read his writing as a pastor. And so I thought today, I know it's a lot of things going on today, so I'm just going to mention a few things. There's a lot more, but we'll leave that for another time. But I want to mention a few things. I mean, I remember when I was translating 1 Thessalonians back in divinity school, it was one of the things that really I found incredibly interesting, really captured my imagination, and that is Paul as pastor. And I will say, I do remember thinking, you know, I had a little bit of jealousy, perhaps, that, you know, he could pastor a lot from afar. Like, wouldn't it be fun if I could just be far away? You could just write me your questions, and then I would answer them, and I would send them back and expect you to just do them. But alas, that doesn't work that way. But what does it mean to be pastoral? And what are the things that Paul offers? And I suspect for probably that person who wrote that comment probably wouldn't find Paul very pastoral either, for that matter. But let's talk about a couple things. One is as kind of guide, teacher, coach, really. In a lot of ways, I don't think about this a lot, but in a lot of ways, when you really think about it, that is a lot of what I do. And that's really a lot of what Paul did. And in fact, a lot of Paul's language, it's hard to appreciate this in the English, but in Greek, he uses a lot of athletic kind of language, that living the faith is, so it takes some athletic ability, and it takes a little athleticism to continue in the faith. That it's not easy. It doesn't sort of just come. It's something that we need to practice and we need to be thoughtful about. And that my role as pastor and Paul's role as pastor was as coach, as someone who kind of is there to, how many of you have been on a sports team? Maybe many moons ago? Oh, come on, there's gotta be a few. Right, I mean, the choir, great. Right, the coach is there to sort of provide some structure and some guidance and sometimes a little bit of some pushing in ways sometimes that you don't want to be pushed. John can tell you all about it because he deals with several coaches, actually, yeah. So that's part of, again, what I do, and very much connected to what Paul did. Like, that's a big part of what Paul was doing, to try to coach, show the way, and again, push a little, and make people do things they didn't always want to do, or how they wanted to do them. Another is a listener, and sometimes comforter. It's what Paul did, certainly something that I do. Not probably as good of a listener as I could be, but I find myself, I'm often in a role of listening. For Paul, it was a lot in reading. I mean, unfortunately, we don't have the letters that were written to him. Could you please help us out with this question? But that Paul had to pay some attention to what was going on with the people that he was trying to keep going in the faith. And that was to listen and to be attentive and to comfort when necessary. Life isn't easy. And there are a lot of things that happen. It's a lot of times, I mean, this week is very much very typical in that, you know, I had a number of phone conversations. I didn't even get to all the phone calls I was supposed to make this week on people who are just dealing with some real difficulties of life and just want to talk, have someone to listen. And again, that's something that Paul did. He would not have been able to do what he did to evangelize for the church if he didn't listen. And next is that Paul was a writer, obviously, but in very important ways. And something that I do, and I don't say this often, I know I've mentioned this before, but you might be amazed, actually. I do get, because of the things that I write, I keep a weekly, mostly weekly, sometimes every week and a half or so, blog. I do hear from people far away who feel connected somehow to the ministry of this church and to what's happening here. And this, again, is something that Paul did. He was a writer. He spent time, especially when he was away. It's not necessarily something that I do. I'm here writing. But how important it is to be in that sort of habit of writing, of considering, of taking some time to think about an issue. And again, this is an important part of what Paul did as a pastor. And something, again, that I find to be an especially rewarding aspect of what I do, because it does expand this church beyond these walls and beyond this community in ways that you may not realize. And then finally, so the one thing that I want to say, right, Paul was an encourager. Paul was there, right, being a part of this church, being a part of this community, especially in the early days when it was small and it felt like it, you know, the world was against them, Paul needed to cheer them on, needed to be that encouraging presence. And I do try to do that. Again, I know I could do it better. But I want to just say today, as Paul did, and certainly at this end of this piece that Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, if I don't say it enough, that I feel profoundly blessed to be among you, to be a part of this community of faith, to be among you as we continue to try to make this journey, as we continue to try to travel deeper and into places where we're not sure of, but to try to grow in our faith, to become more connected to God and to each other, that we are church. That we are church. And so if I don't say it enough, please know that I am deeply, deeply grateful to be the pastor of this church and to follow in Paul's footsteps as an encourager to you, to me, to us together, that we be the church that God has called us to be. Praise be to God. Amen. And may God continue.